Jesus, shepherd of the sheep, thou thy flock in safety keep. Living bread thy life supply, strengthen us or else we die. These words are taken from the Lauda Sion, the beautiful hymn which is the sequence of the Mass of Corpus Christi. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my dear friends, I would like to tell you about the Holy Eucharist, a saint, and a miracle. The saint is Saint Clare. Saint Clare was born of noble parents in the little town of Assisi in Italy in the year 1196. From the earliest age, her mother instilled in her a love of God and the practice of virtue. Now, it was in the year 1212 that Clare heard for the first time the preaching of Saint Francis. Every word he uttered echoed in her heart, and from that time on, she wished to follow him. But at that time, St. Francis had not yet established an order for sisters. He had only established monasteries for priests and brothers. But the young Clare desired that he establish a convent for sisters, that she too might live after the manner of the gospel and his holy preaching. And this St. Francis did. Many young women, following Clare's example, followed her, and thus the religious sisters of the Franciscan order prospered. St. Clare remained in the convent of San Damiano at Assisi for the next 40 years. It is actually said by some that she never left the convent once. And after enduring great suffering and sickness in her last days, she died on August the 11th in the year 1253. But one of the great miracles in the life of St. Clare occurred around the year 1238. You see, the Emperor of Germany, Frederick II, revolted against the authority of the church. And by that I mean he interfered with the appointment of bishops by the Holy See. He was placing his own man, as it were, in a diocese and ignoring the orders of the Pope. And for this, Pope Gregory IX excommunicated him. But in a rage and out of hatred for the Pope, he sent an invading army into Italy. And in this army, he had hired Muslim soldiers as mercenaries. These Muslim mercenaries were hired precisely because they were Muslim and they would have no regard or respect for the church or for Catholic people. They thus invaded Italy and they plundered and pillaged every city and town in their path towards Rome. They reached Assisi and their assault began against the convent of San Damiano. The Muslim soldiers began to scale the great walls of the convent. Now, at the time, St. Clare was very sick in bed. But upon learning of the invasion, and as the sisters began to panic, she ordered herself to be carried to the gate of the convent. And by special inspiration of the Holy Ghost, she went into the chapel She removed the Blessed Sacrament herself. She placed it in a monstrance, and she placed the monstrance before the great iron gate of the convent. Prostrating herself on the ground, St. Clare prayed these words: "Is it possible, my God, that thou shouldst have here assembled these thy servants, that thou hast nurtured them up in thy holy love, but that they should now fall into the power of these infidels? Preserve them, O my God, preserve them and me in thy holy company." When St. Clare had finished her prayer, she heard the most sweetest voice that one could ever hear in this life. This voice came from the monstrance. Christ himself in the Eucharist spoke to her. He said to her, "I will always protect you." And at that very moment, the invading soldiers, every single one of the soldiers, stopped in his tracks, as it were, and suddenly became seized with a terror that they had never felt before in their lives. And as they felt this unspeakable terror, they climbed back down the ladders, and they began to retreat from the convent, from the very town of Assisi itself. They actually began to retreat from Italy, without even seeing any attackers, these Muslim soldiers, as they were running away from the convent, found upon their bodies bloody wounds and cuts and gashes. And thus St. Clare, her sisters, the convent of San Damiano, even Italy, were saved. Today, my dear friends, is the second Sunday after Pentecost, but more properly, the Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi. We are thus in the midst of celebrating Corpus Christi, that is the feast of the body of Christ, and thus we are celebrating the feast of the Holy Eucharist. On the night before he died, our divine Lord instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the greatest of the seven sacraments, the Holy Eucharist. He gave us the Mass to make the sacrifice of the cross present, to celebrate its memory, and to apply its saving power. And thus, at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, is the bloody sacrifice of Calvary made present, really and truly, but in an unbloody manner. He gave us the Holy Eucharist so that he would always remain with us, even until the end of time. Thus, when he told the apostles on that Ascension Thursday, just moments before he ascended from Mount Olivet, he said, "Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." And he did this because, as he said, he would not leave us orphans. And thus, he not only sent the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday to be our comforter and our advocate, but he himself would remain in this wondrous mystery of faith Nor did he make himself present in the Holy Eucharist just simply to be here. He gave himself in the Holy Eucharist that he might also be food for our immortal souls, so that he would be a spiritual nourishment. In fact, without this holy food, we cannot live. To the Jews who murmured against him when he proclaimed himself to be the bread of life and declared that the bread of life was his own flesh, he said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." He then went on to tell them, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I love the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me." And thus did he make himself present in the Holy Eucharist, that he would be received by us into our souls. The Jews did not believe. They rejected him. Many of the Jews who had followed him, many who had been received his miracles in their own bodies, they ceased to follow him when he taught the Holy Eucharist, when he taught the real presence that he was the true bread of life. They could not believe. They would not believe. But you know who does believe in the Holy Eucharist? The devil. The devil believes in the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And that is why, my dear friends, he has sought to destroy the faith of Catholics in this great sacrament. That is why he has sought to destroy the holy priesthood, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and the faith in the hearts and minds of Catholic people from the beginning. His first great success was the Protestant Reformation. His second success, which was far greater than the first, was the modernist Reformation in the wake of Vatican II. I recently mentioned to you that a poll taken last fall of 2019, indicated that 70% of so-called Catholics in this country do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. They call themselves Catholics, but they are not. But they do not believe in the Holy Eucharist. They reject it. Most of them believe it's a mere symbol. A mere symbol. What is the difference between them and the Jews who walked away when our Lord first proclaimed this truth? How grateful we should be that we have been not only preserved in the one true Catholic faith, but that we have the true priesthood of Jesus Christ. We have the holy sacrifice of the Mass and our Savior himself here in our tabernacle. How privileged, my dear friends, we are to be able to approach him and receive him in this great sacrament. When we consider that there are about 7 billion people in the world today, 7 billion people How many of the 7 billion know and believe that the Son of God is really and truly present in the Holy Eucharist? A handful in comparison? Very few. How many among these very few, though, have the privilege of receiving our Lord in Holy Communion as often as we have here in our chapel? Let us, who are among these few, let us resolve to make the reception of Holy Communion as often as we can and with hearts full of love and gratitude. To receive Him not out of mere routine, to receive Him with love and gratitude, and that confidence that our Eucharistic Savior will give us the graces that we need to be strong against the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. For those are the real enemies. If our Eucharistic Lord would defend St. Clare and her religious from bodily ruin, how much more will He defend us from spiritual ruin? And never forget, my dear friends, that is what the real war is all about today. It is a war for souls. It is not just a war for cities and countries. It is a war for immortal souls. And the Holy Eucharist has been given to us by the Sacred Heart of Jesus to be our spiritual protection and to give us spiritual strength and to save and sanctify our souls. If we receive Him often, if we receive Him with hearts full of love and gratitude and confidence, He will protect our souls as He protected St. Clare and her sisters. And so we pray in the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, which have been immortalized by the Church, Jesus, Shepherd of the sheep, Thou Thy flock in safety keep, living bread Thy life supply, strengthen us, or else we die. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.